reading of the scriptures and the proclamation of God's word. Father in heaven, we thank the Lord that we can stand amazed in the presence of Jesus, the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. And we thank the Lord for that wonderful day in our experience when we heard the Lord say, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more." And we thank you that the one who gave us pardon, gave us power over sin, and Lord, to live a victorious life. Lord, you promised in your word that sin shall not have dominion over you. And we do pray, Lord, for each one of us tonight, Lord, who profess thy name. Help us, Lord, to live in the victory of the cross and to be more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, Lord, we remember especially those who as yet have never tasted of that love. Lord, have never as yet come unto your banqueting house. We pray, Lord, that even tonight, Lord, that thou would speak to their hearts. Lord, that you'll bring them to a personal living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of thy word, that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Help us, Lord, to uplift Christ. May we see no man save Jesus only. And grant, Lord, that some precious soul tonight might look and live and find Christ as their Savior. Hear us, Father, we pray, for we give thee all the praise as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let us read together, please, tonight from the Word of God. I invite you to read a familiar passage of the Word of God in the book of Psalms. And we're turning to the Psalm number 23, the book of Psalms and the 23rd Psalm. And I know most of you could recite this by heart, and yet sometimes we become so familiar with a psalm or a verse in the Bible it can lose its meaning. And you think of a verse like John 3 and 16, the greatest verse in the Bible within a Bible. And yet sometimes we can lose the wonder of it all that God so loved, he gave. And may the Lord help us not to have that being too familiar with the Word of God. And may it always be fresh to our hearts. Now, the Psalm number 23, and the psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. And O God, well, bless the reading of his own word to all of our hearts. Now, in the book of Psalms, number 90, you'll find in the verse 12 that the psalmist David said, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Then David also goes on to tell us that we spend our days as a year, as a tale that is told. Now, that's a very significant phrase, that we spend our days as a tale that is told. David, you remember, was a shepherd. He was brought up as a shepherd's boy, looking after the flocks of his father Jesse. David knew what it was to spend many lonely hours and through the day, through the night, and watching over the sheep. Now, one of the things that shepherds would do at the end of the day was that they would build a large campfire. They would put the sheep into the fold, and then they would have this large fire, and they would wrap themselves up in their sheepskin rugs, and they would settle down for the night. And to pass the long hours of the night before they would get down to sleep, they would begin telling tales, telling stories of things out of their own lives, their own experiences, and things that they'd heard from other situations. And David knew what it was as a shepherd's boy to hear these tales and to hear these stories. And perhaps David had that in mind when he said, "We spend our years as a tale that is told." And you get a story that is interesting and fascinating. Time goes in so quickly as you listen to that story. And I have no doubt that those stories made a deep impression upon the young heart of the man after God's own heart. And I could almost imagine David, because of his faith and his trust in the Lord, as these men have shared their tales and told their stories, that David speaks up and says, "I've got a story, I've got a tale worth telling. Let me tell you my story." And David takes up the theme of the 23rd Psalm, and he begins with the words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And he ends with the words, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And David is saying, "This is my tale, this is my story, this is what the Lord means to me." And as you go down through this psalm, you will find in this tale that is told by David in the 23rd Psalm that David shares with us the wonderful blessings that belong to all those who know him and trust the Lord as their Savior. Now, I'm not going to try and deal with all of the psalm tonight, but I want to select, just pick out three of these wonderful blessings that David mentions in this familiar psalm. And you'll notice, first of all, that he commences with a wonderful relationship, a declaration of his faith and trust in the Lord. And you can hear this young man, as he says with confidence, beside this fire and these shepherds that are gathered around, and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He commences with a wonderful relationship, declaring, stating that the Lord was indeed his shepherd. Now, when you read through the book of Psalms and the prophetic books and the historical books of the Old Testament, you'll find again and again that the God of Israel is referred to as the God of Israel. And that's what God was. He was the shepherd of Israel in a very special way. He chose Abraham, and out of his seed, God brought forth the nation of Israel. And God, very often in his word, is described as the shepherd of Israel, as the one who led his people even as a shepherd. But David here is not talking about a national shepherd. He's bringing it down into the arena, into the experience of his own heart and life. And David's talking about a personal shepherd. And he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that little word, "my," makes all the difference. Dr. Andrew Boner said that the little word "my" is the handle of faith. And David, along the journey of life, knew what it was to reach out the hand of faith and to claim the shepherd as his own, and to be able to say, yes, he's a national shepherd, but thank God he's a personal shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. That little word "my," that personal possessive pronoun, makes all the difference. You remember Thomas Hare, that he said, "My Lord and my God." You think of Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, "And my soul doth magnify the Lord, and I rejoice in God, my Savior." You think of Job in that Old Testament book and the sufferings of Job. And Job said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." And saints of all days and generations have had this personal testimony that they know the Lord in a personal way. He's not just a shepherd, but He is my shepherd. And of course, we are introduced to who this shepherd was by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And you remember in one of the great I Am statements in the Gospel of John that the Lord looked humanity in the face and His disciples, and He said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep." And this was the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ became the incarnate Word, was born of the Virgin Mary, and robed Himself with our humanity, lived a spotless, crimeless, sinless life, and at the end of that life offered Himself without spot and without blemish unto God as a sacrifice for sin, that you and I might be able to say, "Yes, the Lord is my shepherd," that we have a personal shepherd in salvation, a personal Savior. I know Him as my Savior and Lord. Remember Psalm 22 and verse 1, the question is asked, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" And surely the answer is found in Psalm 23 and verse 1, that He was forsaken upon the cross that you might be forgiven, that you might be able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd," that He might be able to bring you into His banqueting house, and that you could testify His banner over me as love. You know, I remember reading a true story on one occasion of a minister who married this young couple, and they got married and were very happily married. But their home that they've been planning to build and to live in wasn't completed at the time of the marriage. And so some months later, when the house was finished and everything was ready, this young couple decided to have a housewarming party. And they invited all the guests who had been at the wedding. And of course, they invited the minister who had married them. And in the course of the evening, it turned out that there was an actor present. And someone spoke up and they said, "Well, you know, would it be lovely to get the actor here tonight to recite something?" And everybody thought that was a good idea. And he stood to his feet and he said, "Well, what would you like me to recite?" And somebody said, "Well, what about the 23rd Psalm? I love that old Psalm. What about the 23rd Psalm?" And so the actor stood to his feet with perfect command of language. He recited the 23rd Psalm. So much when he came to the end of the Psalm, everybody applauded and there was a round of applause. And he had said it so well. Then somebody else spoke up and they said, "Now we've had the actor, but what about getting the minister to say the Psalm?" The old minister stood to his feet. He had known the shepherd for many years and had walked with the Lord and he loved the Lord. And he stood to his feet in a quiet confidence and assurance within his heart. He began to recite the 23rd Psalm. And when he came to the last verse, he said, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And there was just a silence fell upon the room. Nobody clapped. It was embarrassing. Then the actor stood to his feet. And he said, "You know, the difference between the minister and myself is this. I know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd." And maybe there's someone here in the meeting tonight, and from your earliest days in the Sunday school, you've known the psalm, you've been taught the psalm, and you've sang the psalm, and you've recited it and received a prize. But tell me, do you know him? The shepherd is your faith and trust in him. Can you say, "I have a shepherd, one I love so well, how he has blessed me, tongue can never tell." And when you get saved, you have a testimony, you have a story to tell of what great things the Lord has done for you. You know, I think of a fellow who got saved. He was a bit of a comedian, and he was a great man in Masonic dues, and wherever there was a Masonic dinner, he'd be invited along to say in Ulster for a bit of crack. And he could tell the stories. But one night he was asked to go to a gospel mission, and he went along to the meeting, and he got wonderfully saved, came to know Christ as a Savior. And without anybody saying to him, he realized, I can't go on in the Masonic as a Christian, but I'm going back one time to tell them that I've got saved. He wasn't ashamed to confess Christ. And so the next lodge meeting he attended, it was a dinner, one of these dues. And the minister of his church that he attended was the chairman. And after they had a lovely meal, they said, well, now, what about getting Brother Tommy up to give us a bit of his crack and tell us a few jokes? And Tommy stood up. He says, man, I have a queer story to tell you tonight. And boy, they were all sitting there waiting on it. And he got up and he told Harry he got saved. That he realized he was a sinner on the broad road to a lost eternity. But that Christ had died on the cross and he had come to trust and put his faith in him. You talk about dropping a bomb, a bombshell. I tell you, it really rocked the whole meeting. So much so afterwards, the minister came and said, how dare you get up and talk about getting saved at a Masonic do? He said, you really embarrass me tonight. But you know, that young man was rejoicing in the reality of God's salvation. You know, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The Bible says, go home and tell what great things the Lord has done for thee. And if you're not sharing your testimony, if you're not witnessing for Christ, then there's something seriously wrong with your Christian experience. For the Lord says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. David commences with a wonderful relationship. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, may the Lord enable you tonight by faith to embrace Christ and to say, the Lord is my shepherd. But then you'll notice here that David not only commences with a wonderful relationship, but he continues with a wonderful reassurance. Look at verse 4. And David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, one of the things I love about God's word, and especially the book of Psalms, is that they meet where the rubber hits the road. They're true to life. And David in this psalm, he not only talks about the green pastures and the still waters and the paths of righteousness, but it's true to life, and he talks about the valley of the shadow of death experience in life. Now, I know very often we use this at a funeral, and I've done it myself, and people are in the valley of the shadow of death experience, but in reality, it has got nothing to do with death in that sense. It's got to do with life rather than death. And what David is saying is this, that life is not only made up of still waters and green pastures and paths of righteousness, but there are those valley experiences of life that we've all got to pass through in life. Wasn't Job right when he said that man that is born of a woman is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward? And whether you're saved or not, there's the valley experiences of life. But I want you to notice something here. You see, in verses 1 to 3, David is talking about the Lord. He's talking about the Lord, who he is and what he does. Talking about him. But if you look at verse 4, it all changes in the valley. And he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And instead now of talking about the Lord, he's in the valley and he's talking to the Lord. And sometimes we've got to learn that all sunshine makes a desert. And we've got to have the valley experiences of life to draw us closer to the Lord. You know, it's like the wee boy was on the train with his mommy, daddy, His mommy had made one of these wee sailor outfits for him. Do you remember those mothers used to have them? Kids wouldn't wear them today. But he used to have these wee sailor outfits, and you know, they thought they were something. And the wee boy was on the train, and there he was beside his mommy. The train was going along, and there was an old couple sitting on the other side of the carriage. And the wee boy went over, and he held his wee jacket, and he said, "My mommy made me this." The woman said, "That's nice, son. It's very nice. That's very nice." Then he went back to his mommy again. Then he came back over again, holding his wee trousers. And he said, "My mommy made me these." "Oh," she says, "dear, that's very nice." And suddenly the train went into a tunnel. And as quick as a flash, he was back over to his mommy, holding on to her skirt like grim death. And he says, "Mommy, we're not afraid in the dark. Sure, we're not." And you know, life's just like that. One minute you're going along in the light, and the next minute you're in the tunnel of darkness. And the Lord has taken you into the tunnel of darkness to give you the treasures of darkness. There's things that you learn in the darkness and the dark hours of the soul when the Lord draws near, and He's very precious. You know, this old book says, "Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And you can start the day and the sun is shining, and before the day is over, it can be the darkest day in your night. You know, I think of a dear lady, she was taking her child to school, and as she was traveling alone in the car, a truck came along. Driver couldn't stop, smashed right into the side of the car, smashed into the little girl, threw her out of the car, and the mother jumped out of the car and got her little girl. But her little girl was already dead. Launched out into God's eternity. And you know that mother, she lifted up her little girl, and she was a Christian mother. And when they came to try and comfort her, all she could say was, "The Lord gave. The Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And then the valley experience, she was blessing the Lord. I tell you, that's God's grace in the valley. I think of a dear brother, took cancer, preacher, cut down. On his deathbed, this friend came in, who's a pastor, a friend of mine, Pastor Dennis Lyle, and he said to him, "Pastor, do you know what this old cancer is?" He says, "No, what is it?" He says, "It's God's Rolls Royce to take me to heaven." Hallelujah. I tell you, that's talking to the Lord and the valley experience. And I don't know tonight, but maybe there's someone here and you're in the valley. And it might be because of work or your family or your health or some situation. I want to tell you, God knows about it tonight. And you can say, "In the darkest valley, I need fear no ill, for He, my Savior, is with me still." He has said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And the child of God doesn't want the Lord's presence in life or in death or even eternity itself. The Lord is with him. Never forget, out in Greenville, way 35 years ago, we got an invitation to go to the work there. It was just starting. It was a Christmas time, and what an opportunity to go to America. They didn't have to ask us twice. I'm telling you, we headed off for America. We went to the church at Greenville. We were there for several weeks looking after the church in the early days. One morning, Anna, when the post arrived, she said, "Stanley, read that." And the tears were tripping her, and I wondered what was wrong. And when I started to read the letter and I read down, it was from her sister Ethel Pooch, Charlie Pooch's wife. And Ethel's with the Lord, but she was a lovely Christian lady. She was telling us about Annie, her sister. And Annie, her sister, had been a faith mission pilgrim. And she had worked as a matron of the Independent Methodist College. And a lovely, godly lady, great gospel singer and a great personal friend of ours. And Ethel explained her Annie had cancer, it was right through her body, and she hadn't long to live. And I remember, whenever I got home, I got the cases in through the door, the first port of call I made was round to Annie's sister's house, Lily, another sister. And then, and every day from that moment on, I visited her, sat with her, and read. The day before she died, I went into the house, and her sister said to me, "Stanley, Mr. Martin says, I don't know if Annie will even recognize you. She's so far down." And there she was lying on the bed in her lovely white hair. And I said, "Dear Annie." And she opened her eyes and she gave a big smile. And she said, "Hallelujah, brother. He's still with me. He's still with me." Maybe you're going through a difficult time tonight. You're in the valley experience. And the Lord would say to you, "Fear thou not. For I am with thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." You see, that's the difference between a child of God and a person of the world. A person in the world, he can only turn to the drink and all the rest of it. But the child of God is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and a friend that loveth at all times. Tell me, do you know him? You know, I don't know, I say this honestly, I don't know how people go through life without the Savior. I couldn't face life. It's all the difference when he's there to brighten the pathway before you by his presence. David commences with a wonderful relationship. David continues with a wonderful reassurance. "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." But notice how David concludes with a wonderful resonance. David says, "Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And then he takes his eyes and he places them towards heaven. And he says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You remember the Lord Jesus spoke of that house. And he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And that's heaven for the child of God. Thank God where Jesus is, it's heaven there. Amen. Where Jesus is, child of God, it's heaven there. And one day we're going to end this old life, and the Lord's going to fulfill his word, "I will come again and receive you." That is his bride, his people, those who are trusting in him. And he says, "I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." I want to tell you, the best is yet to be for the child of God. You know, some years ago in the city of Edinburgh in Princess Street, there was a beautiful, magnificent toy shop. Very expensive toys, the type of toys that you couldn't afford to buy. And very often in their shop window, they would display toy lead soldiers. Very, very expensive. Beyond the reach of an average child. Collector's pieces. And there was a wee boy, very often would come out of the slums, and on his way home from school, he would make his way to the shop, and he would just stand there, and with his wee nose and face up to the window, he would stare at the toy soldiers that he could never hope to possess. And he did that every day for several weeks, and the shopkeeper and the owner happened to notice him, and he used to wait for him to come, because just the look of amazement on this wee boy's face. And then one day the wee boy didn't turn up, and it turned into a week, and into 2 weeks, the wee boy never came back. And the shopkeeper inquired of one of the other school children about him. "What has happened to him? He's never come back. I miss him." He said, "Oh, sir, did you not hear? He's very ill. He's not going to live. He's dying, and he's in hospital." And the shopkeeper was really touched and reached into the shop window and took out the lovely packet of toy soldiers that the wee boy admired so much, and he wrapped them up in beautiful gift paper, and he went to the hospital where the wee boy was, and he made his way down the ward. He came to the bed and spoke to the little boy, and he said, "Son, I've brought you a present." And the wee boy probably had never received a present in his life. And he tore off the paper with those weak little hands and arms, and he looked at the parts of packet of toy soldiers, And all he could say was, no glass between. No glass between. See, every time that he looked at it before these soldiers, there was glass between the shop window. But now there was no glass between, and they were his. And you know, child of God, when it comes to heaven, the Bible says that we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And when the Lord comes and calls us home to be with himself, we'll shout with the redeemed of all ages, no glass between, no glass between. Face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be? David concludes with a wonderful residence. Thou wilt dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, this is not for everybody. If you can't say the Lord is my shepherd and you're not saved and trusting in him and proving him in the valleys of life, then you'll not be able to say in your deathbed, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, I think of a young girl. Her father was an atheist. Brought up this young girl to believe that there was no God. The Bible wasn't true. There's no such a place as heaven or hell. Young daughter in her teenage years was cut down with serious illness, and she was dying. One afternoon her father came into the room, and with tears in her eyes she began to sob. And she said, Daddy, why did you lie to me? Daddy, why did you lie to me? And the man was taken aback because he loved his daughter more than anything else in this world. And he said, Pat, he says, I've never lied to you. I've always told you the truth all my life. She says, Daddy, she says, hell is opening up. My feet are slipping down into hell. Daddy, there is a hell. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? You see, you can discover too late that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to be shunned. And you know, the Lord says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repent, receive Christ tonight, and go home with the assurance that the Lord is your shepherd. And then for time and eternity, you'll be able to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. May the Lord bless this old psalm to our hearts this evening.